Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
He played for a decade in the NFL, multiple-time Pro Bowler, and has more catches than any tight end in the history of the Washington football team, which is saying something because they were great in the 70s and 80s. He's Chris Cooley. Also, by the way, went to the same college as Jordan Love, Utah State. If you're talented, the NFL will find you. They will find you. And Chris Cooley now joining us live from Cody, Wyoming. That looks like Cody, Wyoming. You got a good hoodie on there. You got a log cabin thing going on. How are you doing?
Got the log cabin going. I'm doing great. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, and we're doing awesome out here. Had fun watching the draft and everything that's been going on lately and keeping up. The internet makes it really easy, even though it's pretty slow here.
So let me ask you, my takeaway on the tight end position has never been truly respected. It's always been like the last or next to last in terms of payment. Tony Gonzalez was racking up huge touchdowns and yards, and he wasn't paid like a receiver. He was paid like a guy who blocked. And so when Tebow says, "I want to be a tight end," I think, oh boy, that's a little disrespectful to the position. As a great tight end, you hear Tebow just wants to try out as a tight end. What is your thought on that?
I don't have any problem with it. I think, first of all, Urban Meyer and Tebow are very close, so it makes sense that Urban would give his guy a shot. Tebow's a heck of an athlete. You know, when I look at this position, I watch it year in and year out. There's 20 guys that are good. There's 10 that are outstanding. But you get to the twos and threes on a lot of teams, and there's a lot of guys that, in my opinion, shouldn't be on the field or are just filling a role. And so can Tebow do that and kind of find his way into things? Maybe. We'll find out. There's a lot of nuance to the position.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. A quarterback to tight end transitioning. I mean, I just think to myself, Tim Tebow, hand in the dirt, blocking a defensive end. That's what comes to me. You better have his mouthpiece in. I mean, what will be the one or two things that are we don't talk about that he's going to have to figure out?
See, I just don't know if you put Tim Tebow's hand in the dirt. It's almost like all of these new quarterbacks coming in that have never played under center. You don't transition them to a complete under center quarterback. To me, he's more of an H-back. If you want Tim Tebow to play tight end for you, he's that move position. You're putting him in a slot every once in a while. You're putting him in the backfield. You're letting him kind of move around. You're letting him stay in an up stance. Now, as it comes to blocking, he's got a lot to figure out there. Toughness, I think Tebow has, and so I appreciate that, and I think he'll have a chance there. But you start talking about simple footwork and leverage and understanding how defensive ends and outside linebackers play and where you want to put your hands on them, what your hat placement needs to be or your helmet placement needs to be. All those little things that manipulate a defensive end are things that guys pick up over time, and we'll see. Maybe he can.
Yeah,
I think he'll be an okay route runner. I think he's athletic enough. Quarterbacks can always catch very well. They catch more balls than anyone else because everyone's got to throw it back to them every time.
That's a good point. So a couple of things to talk about. So some issues here. Washington, I've said they're the enigma in the league. So good defense, playoff team, weak division. They should make it again. What I wouldn't do at quarterback is get a gunslinger who loses me games. I've outcoached the team with Ron Rivera. And they get Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think, no. Just give me Teddy Bridgewater. I can win 11 games with Teddy Bridgewater. My defense will keep us. I mean, Alex Smith didn't play particularly well. Went 5-1 last year. Explain the Ryan Fitzpatrick's our guy quarterback on this roster, because I don't get it.
Yeah, Colin, I don't know if I totally get it either. And that doesn't mean that I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I respect him. I think he's incredibly bright. He's intelligent. He makes a ton of throws. I mean, amazingly enough, the last couple of years, his QBR has been really pretty high. But I'm with you. I think this team is a team that needs a quarterback. And I don't know, is Fitzpatrick this year? Is it maybe next year? But they had a chance to move up and probably take a guy where there was some talent around the quarterback. They had a really, or they have a very good defense. They have great weapons with Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson and Logan Thomas came on last year. And I think you could have protected a young quarterback if you went up and got him this year. It'll be interesting what Fitzpatrick does in a Scott Turner offense. You know, watching them last year, they didn't really take a lot of shots down the field. And I didn't know if that was all by design or just not knowing if the quarterback could do it. Right. I mean, it was crazy watching Alex. So I'll be interested if he can just play ball control, because that's really what the guy's going to have to do or needs to do if they want to win 8, 9, 10 games.
So you were with Kyle Shanahan when he was the coordinator in Washington. He is now the coach of the Niners. What is Trey Lance? How complex is the offense? How long does it take to master Trey Lance, master a Kyle Shanahan offense? You would know.
I think there's a ton to Kyle Shanahan's offense, but what Kyle's going to do is slowly build around what Trey Lance does very well. If you think back to 2012, they remastered the Kyle Mike Shanahan offense for Robert Griffin and became a zone read type offense. And that was kind of pre-RPO. They'll take their time with him. They'll get him in a lot of the boot stuff where he's able to make, you know, one side of the field type reads, go top of the progression, down, easy stuff there. Let him use his legs if he needs to use his legs. And it'll be a slow build. I think back to that offense with Robert, and it was a really successful offense, which was changed completely. The only hard thing for Robert was some of the third down concepts and some of the third down defenses that he faced or that he had to see. And I'll never forget Kyle saying, "Robert, if you don't like it, you're the check down." And Trey Lance has the ability to do that. I mean, he's not running into end zones with penguins written in it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, he's playing against real NFL dudes. I think he'll adapt okay, and Kyle will do an excellent job slow playing it so he understands it and plays within his grasp.
You went to the same school as Jordan Love. A couple days ago, the GM of the Packers said he's got a long way to go. Obviously, you want to support people from Utah State where you went to school. But, you know, it's funny. Jordan Love had 32 college starts. That's a lot. I mean, some of these guys, Kyler Murray was playing baseball half the time. He got 15. He's got 32 college starts, and they say, quote, he's got a long way to go. That makes me think, ooh, boy, maybe he wasn't a first-round quarterback. Or am I being too harsh?
I think he has a long way to go. Some of the intangibles make him a first-round quarterback. I haven't had a chance to meet Jordan and play catch with Jordan. I mean, he's a big kid. He has a big arm. He's smart. He likes ball. But it's amazing. You know, I was there his junior year where I thought he had an excellent year, and spending some time talking with that coaching staff who's now at Texas Tech, they had a lot of non-play calls, just look to the sideline and give the receiver a number. And sometimes it wasn't even the entire group of receivers. And he switched his senior year to a new staff and with Gary Anderson as a head coach. And it was still, you know, really simplistic. I thought he pressed his senior year. But essentially, Colin, he hasn't really run offense with language. And so when you're talking about what is Matt LaFleur's offense, which is really Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay's offense to some extent, that's the West Coast language. That's where he's got a long way to go. I mean, you get these guys that they got to repeat 16 words back into the huddle after the coach puts it in their ear, and they have to be able to do it fast and fluently. So a long way to go is not just, you know, seeing things, understand. It's also being able to lead in the huddle.
Finally, Chris Cooley joining us. Aaron Rodgers, I remember 10 years ago when I said I used to work at the other company, and I said, listen, I think he's kind of condescending and prickly. I watch him. I watch his body language. I think he's great, but I don't think he's got, you know, he's not Russell Wilson, Mr. Optimism, or Tom Brady. He's a little bit of his contrarian to what you think the quarterback leadership, you know, thing should be. And it's okay. By the way, there's a lot of different ways to do it. But when you watch that whole thing, just erupt as a guy who played at a Pro Bowl level in the NFL. How do you solve it? Can you solve it? What do you make of the whole mess?
Yeah, to me, he's kind of like Will Ferrell playing Alex Trebek trying to deal with the Saturday Night Live cast. Look, I think both parties seem to be at fault a little bit. You know, I always go back to, you agreed to play here. You signed the deal. The fans, the community, the players, so many people are depending on him as a Green Bay Packer. But I do understand where he's saying, then trust me if everybody's doing that. Believe in me. Don't trade up and get Jordan Love. And as far as the Packers, you didn't need to do it. I mean, it worked out with Brett Favre when they went and got Aaron Rodgers, but he was that year, he was essentially the last first round guy on their board when they took Aaron Rodgers. They traded up for Jordan Love. And to me, that's taking a little bit of shot at your quarterback, who is the MVP of the league. I mean, and is going to have some more good years. Like, I really never understood that move. And I do like Jordan. I see how that really would frustrate Aaron Rodgers. And you know, we're at a point now where these guys, some of these guys make so much money that if he does want to hold out, it's going to cost him a ton.
Yeah.
But I think he can afford it. And so it puts both of them in a really bad situation. You know, Aaron's got to pay a ton of money. He's going to look bad to all the fans. And Green Bay's losing their MVP quarterback if he doesn't show up and play.
Yeah, they're both kind of trapped in a weird way because they still own his rights. He could retire. But, you know, when you were in your prime, you don't want to retire. I mean, did Washington give you a heads up if they ever drafted a tight end when you were in your prime? Did they ever draft one?
Yeah, they drafted Fred Davis in the second round out of USC. But tight end's a little bit different because you're talking about an offense. Realistically, if you can have the best 11 guys on the field, that's what you want. To me, that was never intimidating. I thought, you know, having that kind of guy could help out. And that was kind of in the era of Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez when New England had two outstanding guys on the field. You don't have to compete against just the tight end. You're competing to be on the field with all the backs, all the receivers. So it didn't truly bother me. But no one did give me a heads up.
Nobody gave you a heads up.
It was after my first Pro Bowl. I was like, oh, yes, I need to play better. I'll pick it. No, it didn't hurt my feelings. It was interesting, but didn't hurt my feelings.
Good seeing you, buddy. I'm glad you're happy. I always love when I see you on my schedule coming on the show. We don't have you on enough. Good seeing you.
It's always good to see you, Colin. Thanks.
You bet. Chris Cooley, really good guy, former Washington tight end, Utah State, great player, had a radio show, TV stuff in D.C. forever. He may still. He's very, very good. Very talented guy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hot water never runs out. Go tankless. Navien tankless water heaters. Check them out right now. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, the NBA season is winding down. It's time to start talking NBA playoffs.
Yes, it is.
Last night on NBA on TNT, Dwayne Wade revealed who he thinks is the dark horse the East.
Oh, boy.
Well, obviously, the Miami Heat would be the first one that comes to mind.
Just the way
they went
playing
to the Eastern Conference Final. I mean, sure, they went to the finals last year and won the Eastern Conference Final. So, automatically, they're coming in with a little confidence that's different than an Atlanta Hawks who are, they're building to become this, right?
Well, the Heat have won 10 of their last 13 games. They're currently...
They're healthier.
Fifth in the East. They're healthier. They have Tyler Hero back. They play the 76ers tomorrow, the Bucks on Saturday, and the Pistons on Sunday. They beat the Celtics last night, who are in seventh, 129-121.
Now Bam is closer to his peak. Last year, he was still a young player, so Bam's a better player this year than last.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's Wade's point. Like, this is a team that... Obviously, no one expected to go as far as they did last year, and they're coming back now, healthy at the right time, and they have the chemistry and confidence. You know, Tyler Hero was a rookie. You know, they're just a more mature team.
Now, what's going on with Tyler Hero? I'm hearing some things.
I mean, he's still a young player.
He's got a little injury issue. Likes himself a little. What's going on
Who
with
Who doesn't?
I'm just hearing things.
One thing we're going to have to, I think, just give a little wiggle room to.
Yeah.
With the younger guys is they're going to like social media.
Yeah.
Okay. The drip is very important.
See,
okay, for some. And for others, it's not. And that's how they show up in gym clothes, and that's that.
This show has no egos. So it's very difficult for us to understand that and relate to it.
I definitely have an ego. I'm not a great TikToker. but like it's like similar to the Juju thing. Like, there are some generational things going on here.
Yeah, I get that.
And it doesn't. I don't know that it serves anyone to get like really triggered.
So, as a Heat fan, are you still buying Tyler Hero?
Yes, I'm still very much in on Tyler Herro.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not bailing. They would play the winner of the Philly play-in game in the second round.
Who would they play?
If they beat the, they would play the winner of the Philly play-in game. If they get the Hawks, so right now
they'd beat the Hawks. Spot.
They'd face the Hawks in the first round.
Yeah, they'd beat the Hawks.
And then the Knicks are obviously in sixth place.
They'd beat the Knicks.
So then they would play the winner of the Philly play-in game.
So yeah, they're not going to beat right Philadelphia. Now. But the Heat match up well with the Knicks and the Hawks.
Yes.
I don't think anybody matches up particularly well with the Bucks.
You know, it's still the Bucks. I'm in a wait and see mode with the Bucks.
Hey, when it comes to Milwaukee and the Green Bay area code, nobody's got your back like this guy right here.
I'd like for them to prove it. All right, this is fun. Forbes just released their list of the highest paid athletes of 2020. Do you know who is number one?
Well, it's always like a boxer or a soccer guy.
Conor McGregor, $180 million.
Well, he sold a whiskey, too.
Yep.
So what do you know? Boxer and two soccer guys.
Yep.
Dak Prescott, the heck? What?
So it's McGregor for our radio audience. The top 10 are McGregor, 1.
Dak made $107 million.
Messi, $130 million. Ronaldo, $120 million. Dak, $107.5 million. LeBron, $96.5 million. Neymar, $95 million. Federer, $90 million. Lewis Hamilton, $82 million. Brady, $76 million. And Durant, $75
I'm going to stay on Cameo and make $200 a cameo. I got to catch up to Dak. I got that. I can't believe that number. Nobody there surprises me except Dak. He made
He's the face of the.
Yeah, I know. But
the Cowboys are the biggest brand. They make the most money. They're the biggest brand in the world.
He made $70 million outside of football.
He's the starting quarterback, the face of the biggest brand in all of sports.
So was Tony Romo. He never made over $30 million a year.
Dak is more marketable
than Romo?
Apparently.
Well, I'll tell you what.
The numbers have spoken.
Soccer guys make a lot of lettuce.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Dak is very impressive. And I'm not saying like the Cowboys are the biggest brand, like it's my opinion. Like, no, they are the most expensive brand in all of sports. That's a given. And he is the face of that. So, okay. We don't worry about that, how they measure that. So, I love this. You're a Las Vegas guy.
Yeah.
I have great affinity for Las Vegas. And we all remember the black hole in Oakland.
Yeah.
Well, it's gotten a little upgrade in Las Vegas. So we obviously haven't had fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
Wynn Resorts is the official nightlife partner of the Raiders and Allegiant Stadium.
I like Wynn.
And they will be, I love the Wynn. And they will be opening the Wynn Field Club Allegiant Stadium.
Oh, I like anything. Wynn's classy. Anything with Wynn is classy.
I love this. So maybe some of these rich athletes we just mentioned can go and spend some money
there. Look at this.
The 11,000 square foot club section will stretch the length of the end zone. 42 televisions, a 9-foot by 35-foot LED screen, 2 DJ booths, big sound system, and it will feature appearances by Wynn Nightlife's DJs. Exterior entrance, 29 booths with couch seating and premium bottle service.
Can I get DJ Khaled, rhymes with salad?
And 4 bars.
I love DJ Khaled.
I don't know
Khaled.
If DJ Khaled has a residency at Wynn.
Well, the Wynn is very nice. It's got very good food. Steve Wynn, it's a legendary name.
Well, the interesting thing is there'll be a dress code.
The Wynn's, like, Wynn's classy.
We're not going to be seeing the...
No denim shorts.
Well, you know, the black hole in Oakland, like Raiders fans are notorious for very elaborate.
Yeah, but that's not,
Raiders gear.
The Wynn is very classy.
I like the Wynn. Yeah, I think this is fun. I like that stadiums. Well, because Miami has had Live at the Miami Stadium for forever. And I've watched games there. It's like, it's very fun.
I've been to like 7 different lounges and restaurants in the Wynn. All good.
I'm all excited for this.
So am I.
I was really interested to see what kind of like special unique things the Las Vegas Stadium was going to have, because it's Las Vegas. Like, it's got to be flashy. There's going to be obviously a significant change from we're showing some footage of Raiders fans right now. They don't want anybody in a gorilla suit jumping around in the Wynn Nightlife end zone. I'm looking forward to this, though.
So am I. NFL. What did the NFL do? Week 1, Monday Night Football. Gruden at home against Lamar Jackson. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Okay, there's a bunch of NFL schedule comes out. There's about 5 or 6 teams with the schedule, and I'll tell you why, that I'm really interested in watching. That is coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blazers at the Jazz tonight's Discover Card Key matchup. Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit. Go to discover.com/yes. With Discover's card, you'll be hearing yes a lot more often. So the full NFL schedule is getting released tonight at 5 Pacific and 8 Eastern on FS1. So in our best for last today, not all schedules are like Jacksonville's a prime example. They're not going to be a great team. I think they can battle around for 500 because I do think offensively they'll be fun. But I'm not really worried about, you know, I'm talking about teams. There's some teams that have some big decisions to make with quarterback. Some coaches are on the hot seat, and I'm very interested to see their schedule. So these are the six schedules that I'm most interested in.
Number six,
the Packers. Now, they're the current favorite to win their division and should be. But they have 10 games against teams that made the playoffs. In fact, the only NFC team that made the playoffs they don't face is Tampa Bay. Aaron has started week one, 13 consecutive weeks, but there's a lot of noise. It's very unsettled. So I just kind of want to examine it. If you got into a worst-case scenario and Aaron doesn't show up or Aaron's gone, is Jordan Love getting the Lions a couple times early if everything goes sideways? I know they're off the board now. You can't bet the over-under future bets on them. So I'm just kind of interested to see how it falls for Green Bay. Because in life, when you run a business, you always got to consider worst-case scenario. And I want to see how tough their September is.
Number five.
Chicago Bears are very interesting. So last 3 years under Matt Nagy, the Bears offense is ranked 26. They're going to play Justin Fields. There is no question they're going to play Justin Fields. I want to see where the bye shows up. Because this is the way it works. When you have a young quarterback, they're going to get Justin Fields on the field in week one. There'll be plays. But everybody knows, including Andy Dalton, they got to get to the next level or the coach is out and the GM's in trouble. They're already in trouble. So I want to see where the bye is. And I think if they get lucky and it's like bye, then Detroit in week seven, that's where you play Justin Fields. You give him 2 weeks of practice. Then he gets to play the Lions at home. It's like, okay, that we did this with Tua last year. Remember a couple years ago, we guessed when Lamar Jackson would start week 11? Kind of want to see the softest part of the Bears schedule. Where's the bye fall? Where do the Lions fall? And that'll give you some sort of inclination on when Justin Fields, they let him loose.
Number four.
The Chargers. Now, I think they're a dark horse Super Bowl team, but keep your eye. So Brandon Staley is a rookie coach. That means he's got to implement a new system. His system works, but it's new. They also totally rebuilt their offensive line. Rashawn Slater, left tackle. Corey Lindsley, center. They went the center, left guard, left tackle, all brand new. Well, the offensive line, more than any unit in football, is about chemistry and time together. That O-line's not going to be great. So I want to see, when do they have to play the Chiefs? You know, when do they – you start looking at the pass rushes they face. I would love for the Chargers – this again, in that division, we kind of presume they're playing for a wild card spot. So that's when it gets interesting, because then you're getting into that – how the schedule falls is the difference between 9 wins you're out, 10 wins you're in. So I think they need a little bit of an early September break to get the offensive line going and to get – Brandon Staley's defense rolling. The schedule's a lot of Kansas City early, a lot of road games across the country. I mean, they already open at Washington in that defense. For a new O-line, that feels like 0-1. Do you got to go to Kansas City the next week? Are you 0-2? That's the difference between making the playoffs and not, the Chargers.
Number three.
The New York Giants. Listen, they went 5-3 in their last eight games. Daniel Jones cut down on his turnovers, and that improved the wins. And I am interested here because I think they're going to make a decision by Thanksgiving on him. They're going to know if they're going to stay or not. This offense, Dave Gettleman, Kenny Golladay, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard. That is a good receiving core. Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph. Those are really BB-plus tight ends. Saquon Barkley's back. Their offensive line, they went and got a left tackle last year. So they have committed to the offensive side of the ball here. It's time. And they played well at the end of the year. So to me, can they take that momentum? If I was the Giants, Washington's got a new quarterback. Dallas has a new defensive coordinator. Philadelphia's got a new head coach. If I was the Giants, I would love my division games early. I bring back my coach, coordinator. I bring back my quarterback, most of my offensive line. If I'm the Giants, I want to face the Cowboys early. I want to face the Eagles early. I want to face the Washington football team early because they got new stuff. And I like what I bring back.
Number two.
The Cowboys. Never forget this. They had the number one offense in the league through the first month of last year. So they also, it's very interesting. They're one of the teams that should root for a harder schedule early. So I think they're going to be kind of a 9-ish, 8, 9, 10 win team, right? So again, how's the schedule fall with Dallas? They also, the strength of this team is their wide receivers, and they only work if Dak has time to throw. So this is an old offensive line. Now this year in the draft, they addressed defense. They should have. Next year in the draft, I can tell you right now, Dallas is going to address the offensive line. The Rams next year and the Cowboys, they're going to go address the offensive line. And so if I'm Dallas, I wouldn't mind a couple of the tougher teams early in the season. I'd like to play Washington's defensive front early because by week 11, I may be using a backup at left tackle and a backup center and a backup right guard. So if I'm Dallas, give me Washington early. Give me the Giants early. Give me some of those tough defensive fronts early when my offensive line, which is old, is healthy.
Number one.
The Cleveland Browns. I think the schedule really matters for them. We know they play Kansas City week one. That's a bad spot. They already got a bad break. They're bringing in nine defensive starters, nine new guys, and they're talented. Like, this is not, but a lot of them are kids. A lot of them are young. Greedy Williams got hurt last year. Grant dealt with the safety. Young. Denzel Ward's still pretty young. So you got nine new starters, a lot of movement. We already knew they faced Kansas City early. I got Green Bay on the schedule. I don't want to play them early now. I don't want to go Kansas City to Green Bay. I got Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes with nine new defensive starters. And we know they're in a tough division. And I think they're going to win their division. But I've been saying this for a month. They're the one team. If they just get they've already gotten a crappy break with the Chiefs week one, where Andy Reid does not lose week one and in September. Their schedule could go from a 9-win team to a 12-win team based on, I'd love to face now the Packers later in the year. The offenses like Baltimore, no. Lamar Jackson's, that offense is too hard to teach young kids. I want to face Baltimore now later in the year. I want to face Green Bay later in the year. I very interesting schedule. By the way, Browns have the lowest winning percentage by any team in the month of September in the last 21 years. So they historically don't start great. All right, there we go. Those are the ones I'm looking at. MDriveForMen.com. Free shipping, 60-day, money-back guarantee. Refind your prime with MDrive. And also today, you don't like dogs and sandwiches. Been established. We just can't. It's not going to work. Dogs and sandwiches. That's what it's all about. So tonight, FS1 NFL schedule is released. 5 o'clock our time.
Very exciting stuff.
I'm going to go home, get a nap.
You're going to have a Stella?
You are?
No. Are you?
Yeah. I probably will. Listen, man, this is like the draft, but it only takes an hour.
Yeah.
So good. See you tomorrow.